and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I will not lie to you. I am in New York City. It is unbelievably hot out. It's like 90-something degrees, and it is weird to be in a city where it is this hot and there's no theme park rides. I'm only used to like creeping above the 90 degrees and being outside a lot when I'm in Florida, so something in my brain is like, okay, you're dehydrated, check. It's hot out, check. You're wearing your like baggy dresses, check, check, check. Where's Space Mountain? Where's Space Mountain? You're warm, you're in your Florida clothes. Like my brain, it has this Pavlovian response where like if I'm uncomfortably warm, at least I'm about to go get a popcorn in the hub, like I'm gonna get something. And alas, no, New York City is not yielding that. But New York City is yielding cats. Cats. Welcome to the Jellicle Ball, I think it's called. I'm goofing right now, and I would look it up, but I'll be honest, the room I'm recording in has no AC and no air conditioning. And both of those are keeping me from actually pausing to go look it up. But I'm going to like the new staging of Cats. I'm going in a few minutes. I will talk about it next week, probably, if I remember, if it's like still in my brain, because I'm sure it will be, because it seems incredible. I can't wait. I'm seeing three shows while I'm here. I will talk about that in the future, because one show is starring a very amusing guest of the past, a friend of the pod. Okay, I'll just talk about it now. Fine. I'm going to see Andrew Barth Feldman star in Little Shop of Horrors, which I'm very, very excited about. And I also bought a last-minute ticket to Oh Mary. I've wanted to see Cola Scola's show for a while. I just missed the downtown pre-Broadway staging of it. And you know what? I'm going off airplane mode. If you hear dings, now I'm like, what is the official Cats Jellicle Ball name? Hold on. Oh yeah, Cats the Jellicle Balls. Why don't I trust my brain? It is like a ballroom staging of Cats, from what I understand. I will literally know in 20 minutes, 25 minutes, when I put this microphone down and exit the apartment and head down there, which I'm so excited for. Oh, not my apartment. I'm staying in someone else's apartment. I made that low-key sound like I have properties around the world when I do not. Anyway, I'm very excited. Lots of shows, lots going on in New York. Pearl's here. We're having a blast. It's very hot and there's no rides. And that's basically the summation. Now, forget everything I just said about New York, because this week is all about Los Angeles and a bunch of stuff I love doing in my city that I love so much and that I recommend you do on your visit to LA, because it's tricky to visit LA. There's so much stuff. It's very big. And recommendations are like all over the place, literally and figuratively. So I hope you enjoy. I will turn over the pod because, again, no air conditioning, no internet, and I gotta go see Cats. I gotta go see Cats. Rum Tum Tiger. Michael G. Rubble teaser. I can't wait. Okay, stick around. This one is fun. I hope you enjoy. Okay, I'm gonna go see Cats. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. I have got 11 perfect Los Angeles itineraries for you. And I framed this whole episode this way because often with a guide, especially for a city and especially for Los Angeles, where you have to navigate around traffic throughout your entire trip, it's really hard to figure out, oh, do I drive this way to this restaurant? Is it worth bopping around the city? Is it worth being in an hour of traffic to go to this place? It's just a lot of mental and physical gymnastics. And so I wanted to provide you little itineraries that, oh, if you're in this area, you can slot these activities in. Oh, if you know you're going to be there and you have time to kill in the afternoon, maybe you can do this restaurant or do this one sightseeing thing that I recommend. I hope you enjoy this. I planned it very meticulously, but at the end of the day, these are days where even if, as someone who lives in Los Angeles, if I got to do one of these with a friend, with family, with whoever, I'd be like, that was a great day. And we're starting with one of my favorite, a beautiful outdoorsy morning. And again, this is the most LA healthy we're going to get, but it is Los Angeles, and I have to recommend you do something outside. So we are going to start with my favorite LA hike, the trail up to the Griffith Observatory. I love it because it's not too hard, but it's also not too easy. It's right in the middle, like a nice lighter to medium workout with an unbelievable view. I'm genuinely unsure what the name of this hike is. If you're looking it up in your phone for directions, type Firebreak Trail to Griffith Observatory, but you're basically just gonna park or get dropped off just past Ferndale Nature Trail on the map and just honestly, follow anyone else who is hiking. It's about a mile long hike, I think a little bit more from the last time I did it when I clocked it. And it basically, 75% of the way up, it's an unbelievable view of the city, like psychotically beautiful view, perfect Instagram, perfect moment. And then for like 3 to 4 minutes past that, you go uphill. I mean, that's the hardest part, is the last stretch, the last uphill stretch, and boom, Griffith Observatory. Right there, Hollywood sign, boom, right to the left. Like you go up there and you are standing in what feels like the epicenter of all of the Hollywood attractions you wanted to see. And you walked there yourself, which feels very special because you're just walking, 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 boom, history in front of you. It's really something special. And I love it so much because getting to the top of a hike or top of a mountain is a big reward. But here, to have that as your reward, absolutely beautiful. Also, the observatory is a pain in the tuchus to get to otherwise. It's a bus and a parking and it's a whole thing. So in my opinion, this is such a cute way to be near it, to get the view, to see the sign, to get it all, and to get a fun little LA workout in as well. You'll want to wear exercise clothes for this. It's uphill, but not like a, I'm someone who has bad balance and bad stability, and I've gone on hikes in Colorado where I'm like, oh, I need hiking poles. I need hiking sticks. It is not that steep. I feel totally fine, even as someone who is a little wobbly, usually just walking down the street. So keep that in mind. But regardless of your activity level, you will get a little dusty. Keep that in mind. But every time I do this hike, I feel really accomplished, and it reminds me how beautiful this city is and that it's wild that we can do something like this in the middle of all the action. If you are visiting LA, if you're unfamiliar with the area, I just recommend on the way back down, there is a point where it splits to the left where you came from and to the right where people go a totally different way. Just don't go that way. Just go the way you came, you'll be all right. Every single time I'm like, what could possibly be? Where are they going? And I'm too scared to go that way because I don't want to get lost. So just follow my advice and go to the left where you came. Now, as you make your way up the hike and make your way back down to where your car is, or where you got dropped off, another surprise, you can hit up Trails Cafe. Well, I personally haven't been to Trails Cafe in a minute. I tried to go a couple weeks ago and they are closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I figured that out the hard way. It's just a cute little outpost with outdoor seating that is just the ideal spot post-hike or even for a nice little outdoor morning moment. I believe they're most known for pie. That's what I had the last time I went there. But it's a perfect snack and pick-me-up coffee, tea, drink kind of situation. Also, it truly looks like it's in a scene out of an FX television show based in Los Angeles. It's so cute. And I know I'm going to say good vibes 4,000 times on this podcast episode just because we're talking about LA and it's in my brain. But it really just feels so nice to be like, I just saw the Hollywood sign. I went on a little hike. Now I'm in this little cafe. It's beautiful here. It's shady. There's lovely trees. You're in, you're out, you're on your way. It's just very, very nice. There are plenty of other hikes in Los Angeles. I mean, big ones with waterfalls. Runyon Canyon, which is paved and is the most popular one with tourists and also with me. I've done it a bunch, but they don't quite hit the same as this one. I find this one to be so superior. It's not too steep. It's not hard enough. I mean, it's not too hard. It's just hard enough. I really love it. I really love it, and I highly recommend it. But if you want to make a day out of it, you do your little hike, you go in your Trails Cafe, you get a little iced coffee, slurp, slurp, and then you're going to head down to Hillhurst and go eat at All Time. So the way LA is set up is that there's not really downtown grids. There's not really areas that you're just going to peruse freely like that. It's really comprised of main drags in different neighborhoods to explore. Just these long stretches where you can spend money on coffee and food and tchotchkes. And Hillhurst is one of them that's in this area, Los Feliz. This is where Little Dom's is, if you've ever heard of that restaurant. There's a Maru Coffee, which is good, but I hesitate to even recommend it because the line is so long. The line is so long, I will not wait in that line. Therefore, I cannot say that you should. But All Time I would wait in a very long line for. It is absolutely wonderful. And on a block of restaurants that are already super popular, that means a lot. You can go for breakfast, you can go for lunch. It's just really easy breezy. You order at the front counter, people are always very nice, and you just grab any seat. It's all outdoors, but it's like shady and covered. And the food is so fresh and so good. And I don't use that term loosely. Like, this isn't just standard fare. It's always a little special. It's a little beyond. I had a salad there once that it was the freshest lettuce I've ever had in my entire life. And nobody's out here raving about salads like, oh, wow, the lettuce is good. The lettuce is just a filler. The lettuce is supposed to taste like nothing. As my Midwestern upbringing will tell you about fruits and vegetables and tomatoes, like the things just tasted like water. But here, the lettuce tastes like lettuce. The lettuce tastes like lettuce. It's phenomenal. I also love the crispy rice bowl. They have just a bunch of vegetables from the farms, whatever that means. Where are these farms? I don't know. But the farm vegetables are delicious. Comes with fried eggs. They have a breakfast burrito. They have a breakfast sandwich. It is, honestly, anything you get there is going to be a home run. And also, because we are in Los Angeles, and this is probably going to be the only time I mention this, just keep your eyes peeled. Glance at every single person there that is around you. Because if you are visiting LA and you want to see a celebrity, you will likely see one here. There was a stretch a couple months back where I went to All Time for breakfast with friends like once a week for an entire month. I was there a little too much considering it's not in my neighborhood. And we saw so many people. And again, like, I don't care about that stuff. It's a fun novelty to be like, what a surprise. I've seen you on my iPad. But the one person, there was a bunch of people, I already forgot who we saw, but the one person I will mention is that we saw Cousin Greg from Succession, which is a perfect person to see out in the wild. So go to All Time, go on your little hike, get your little breakfast bowl, get your little rice, get your salad if you want, get a breakfast sandwich, keep your eyes peeled, have a great time. The next itinerary I have for you is studio tour shenanigans. As you heard on our recent studio tour episode, the Warner Brothers studio tour is my jam. And while it's easy breezy to get coffee and iced tea and any beverages along the journey, because remember, you have those cup holders in the golf carts, one of my favorite parts of this tour. Unless you are a huge Friends fan, I actually don't recommend getting food, like the little pre-packaged food at Central Park Cafe, which is one of the stops on the tour. If you're hungry, sure, get food. But I would instead get a little snack and hold out to hit one of Burbank's finest dining establishments afterwards, which for me means a studio tour followed by lunch at Bob's Big Boy and coffee at Priscilla's. Bob's Big Boy Burbank. That is a tongue twister, but it's also the oldest remaining Bob's Big Boy in America. You're coming here for burgers, for diner food, for breakfast, for truly anything along those lines. They also have really good merch, like really great souvenirs, and a wonderful retro vibe. I recommend grabbing the tea cakes on your way out. It's like a fun little dessert for takeaway. They're better than they have to be, which is kind of the whole summation of the entire experience. Even better, every Friday starting at 4, they have an antique car show, which just kind of ups the ante. And it's just exactly what you want it to be. A laid-back Hollywood diner with some history, a kind of local, kind of creative crowd. It's a, I guess you'd call it a creative crowd pleaser in a way. I went a bunch during the strikes. And it was just like filled with writers. It was just really, really nice. And it's always a joy to dine there. But that's not all. Your day is not just studio tour and then a little hamburger at Bob's Big Boy. No, no. You're going to cross the street and you're going to grab coffee at Priscilla's. My friend, my favorite food writer, Dave Lancel, tipped me off to Priscilla's coffee, and I have not stopped going here since. Do you remember Gloria Jean's? Like, do you remember walking around the mall as a kid and being like, what's that place? It smells like coffee. And just like walking past to get to Claire's or icing, depending on where you're from, what you call it. That's what this place basically is. It feels like a coffee shop out of the 90s, like Central Park from Friends, but in real life, which is impossible to find these days. Because their specialty thing isn't like a fancy bougie coffee, like a $9 whatever latte. Oh, no, no. It's flavored beans. Do you know how rare that is to find a silly, goofy coffee shop specializing in flavored beans these days? This is the only one I know of in LA. They're known for their blueberry vanilla iced coffee, which I weirdly have not gotten yet because I always get the iced coffee of the day. It's a surprise. You never know what it's going to be. It's always my jam. And it's just fun to be like, you've decided for me what flavor journey I will go on today. And it's always delicious. I genuinely drink iced lattes 99% of the time. And the only time I don't is when I'm at Priscilla's getting the iced coffee of the day. They have bonkers flavors. We're talking Highlander grog. I don't even know what that is. Sounds delicious. Vanilla nut cream, cinnamon hazelnut praline. I like looked up on the website. I was like, oh, I wonder what they have besides hazelnut and things and blueberry and other things. They have the wonkiest flavors. I need to go there just to buy beans. I need to go back just to buy beans. Dang. But if you are going, okay, If you're going on the tour during the day, I recommend Bob's Big Boy and then Priscilla's. But if you're going on the tour end of day, let's say you're going like studio tour late afternoon, you're milling about in those Harry Potter sections. You and your family, you and your friends are just having a gas looking at all the costumes, doing all the things. And you're like, whoa, it's 4:45. We should go get an early dinner. Scrap that whole plan. Forget it. Because we are instead going for dinner to Don Cuco's. It is a favorite of people who work and live nearby, who work on the lot. And if you Ubered or even drove, this is extra convenient because it is walking distance from the studio tour building. Probably like a 5 to 10 minute walk, which is hugely convenient to not have to repark. Don Cuco's has been around since 1969 and is the perfect red booth, huge margarita, alcoholic or non-alcoholic. I usually get non-alcoholic because I'm a lightweight. Just the perfect like red booth margarita Mexican restaurant. There are different locations. This one is the Toluca Lake one. And while you can go for lunch, it would put me in a coma. Like I cannot handle the rest of the day after having lunch here. So for dinner, get some enchiladas, stretch out, eat chips and guac until you are extremely ill from overeating, and just enjoy your vacation eating like the locals do. Because you bet your butt I went here after my most recent studio tour, and it was a perfect, perfect evening. Just keep in mind, I'm 99.9% sure this place is no reservations, but arrive early, be mentally prepared to wait if you have to, and you should be okie dokie. It's really hard for me to not just keep suggesting everywhere else I like in this area or in LA in general, but we are going to stick to these itineraries for a reason, to not overwhelm you and just highlight my favorites. So number three, we're going on a Hollywood Bowl bonanza. Now, this one, I will admit, is less of a plan and more of a heavy-handed suggestion to go to Hollywood Bowl. Not only is it a historic venue, an iconic location that's over 100 years old, but it's also a completely unique way to see live music. They have all kinds of performances. The Philharmonic mainly plays here. There are classical shows, but also all kinds of concerts, themed shows, sing-alongs, all sorts of different stuff, including usually something Disney-centric each season. Literally days, maybe 1 or 2 days after this episode comes out, they're doing this Disney's 80s, 90s in concert with the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra. I think it's Jodie Benson's going to be there, Bill Farmer, Corbin Blue. I forget the other names that I saw on the list. It's just a ton of folks. There's just really special stuff happening here each and every season. And the seating here is intriguing. The seating is varied. There are traditional bleacher-style benched seats, which is probably the best way to explain it. But then they have these little boxes. These cutie little boxes. These little 4 or 6 person like partitioned cubes, I guess, like cube, kind of like cubicles, I guess you'd call it, with little chairs. Yeah, they really are a cubicle with little chairs. And then they have these little tables that they can attach to the side and they can fold over the seats. Because when you are seeing a show at Hollywood Bowl and you are in a box, it is not a show. It is an event. You turn one of the chairs around, you got the little table, and boom, you're now having a little meal with your friends or your family in your little box. The venue itself, beyond just the whimsy of that, is so beautiful. It's a huge amphitheater, but the experience is really what I think makes it so special. Because you can do it any way you want. You can see a show for cheap, you can grab some last minute kind of bench seats towards the top, or you can really splurge and make a nice night of it and have this big dinner experience. But most importantly, you can get there early for the hangs, no matter where you sit. If you don't want to go the picnic procurement route, they sell a bunch of really good food there. And we're not talking like ballpark junk. It's bougie, especially for longer shows. You're getting there a few hours before. They have so many offerings. They have these cutie little marketplace stores that you can go in and shop, which is very chic. Like it feels like you're in just like a, I don't know, like a Santa Barbara little kind of market. It's very, very cute. They have wine, they have beer, they have sake, they have a popcorn stand with caramel and cheese and butter. So it's a cute little situation, which I highly recommend. Also, I get the popcorn every time. It's never as good as I want it to be, but I love it anyway. It's not that good, but I love it. But I want it to be better, but I love it, but I really want it to be better. But it still does the trick. But you don't even have to buy food there because you can bring in food and are encouraged to. Even if you are sitting in that last row with your last second ticket, you can grab one of the free picnic tables around the venue and hang out and eat. You can bring in drinks. You can bring in soda. And if the show is operated by Hollywood Bowl, there's a split between things. It's mostly the Philharmonic. I keep wanting to say Philharmagic. It's mostly the Philharmonic shows, things like that, and a buyout. Like when we saw Noah Kahan play, that's a contracted show. That's not one of their main core shows. But for those kind of shows, if it's operated by Hollywood Bowl, the orchestral ones, you can bring in wine and beer. Like, who lets you do that? It's phenomenal. So otherwise you can't, but like check the rules before you go. Either way, you can bring stuff in, you can bring snackies, you can bring so much food, and you can have a great time. And because this is an itinerary, I'm going to give you some ideas for the food you could bring in. Because honestly, sometimes half the fun is like having friends bring a bunch of different stuff, procuring fun little ingredients, fun little sides, and like noshing on them throughout the show. It just, to me, it's the ideal hangout outdoor summer dinner. So you can really take the meal sourcing as seriously as you like, because as I said, they sell a bunch of food there if you want to order there. But otherwise, you can run around town before the show and make your dream charcuterie board with local providers. You can go to a wine shop that you've always dreamt of visiting. You can even use this as your one excuse to hit up Erewhon. Get a Hailey Bieber smoothie for lunch, which I still have not been emotionally prepared to spend, what, $21 on a smoothie? I hear it's delicious. I still can't do it. That's too much money for something that I don't chew. But while you're there, you can pick up a bunch of their other prepared food for that night. You can get sandwiches at whatever sandwich shop is in vogue at the moment, because honestly, it changes all the time in LA and I have no idea. You can head to the Hollywood Farmers Market or a local nearby one to get a bunch of fresh vegetables, radishes, cucumbers, things like that, and then go to Trader Joe's and get a bunch of hummus and dips. You can get takeout from a restaurant that you really wanted to try but has a really annoying waitlist policy. You wouldn't believe how many places that applies to. But whatever you choose to do, it's worth going there at least once in your life and doing the whole dinner show experience. One last thing, though. If you do go to Hollywood Bowl, bring a jacket. Bring a jacket, bring a sweatshirt, bring a layer, bring something. It can get cold at night and you don't want to be there cold and miserable. You will be very upset that you didn't heed my advice. So bring a jacket. Even if you don't think it's going to get cold, bring a jacket. Just bring a jacket. You can shove it under your bench, under your chair. Doesn't matter. Bring a jacket. Now, itinerary number 4 is a little different from Hollywood Bowl. We're going on a Walt Disney whirlwind. There are a handful of special Walt-ish experiences in Los Angeles. After all, this is where so much Disney history and lore exists to this day. But I won't lie, this one's a little bit piecemeal. I wanted to include this because, hi, duh, hello, this podcast. But if you are looking for some Disney magic while in the LA area, this is really the best that I could cobble together for you without recommending absolutely, I'm going to say it, stupid stuff to drive past. I don't want to waste your time. You're here on vacation. I'm not going to be like, look at this building. Isn't that neat? So this is the best that I could put together to get your Disney fix while in the Los Angeles area. Now, unfortunately, Griffith Park Carousel is sadly still closed. It's been closed for about 2 years, which is a bummer because this is where I used to take every single person who came to town, whether or not they were a Disney fan. It's a super historic carousel with some horses actually that are on the carousel that date back to 1895. And as the legend goes, and why this is so quintessential to a Walt day in Los Angeles, is that this is, as the story goes, where Walt sat on a bench, saw his daughters on the ride, and basically invented the idea of Disneyland. And also, if that doesn't do it for you, it also always felt like a creepy Are You Afraid of the Dark episode. It was just, the music would emanate from the carousel, the organ music, and fade out past the trees. It was so creepy. I loved it so much. You'd pull up to the parking lot, and it would just be like, it felt like it shouldn't be there. It's just like, next to a hill. It's absolutely beautiful. It's so wackadoo. And hopefully it will get restored soon and return. I was looking it up before this episode and it's in probate court, which, I don't know how long that's going to take. I don't know how long the restoration is going to take. I know they need more money, but whatever it is, I'm hoping it gets resolved soon because it is so, so lovely. So in the interim, because I cannot recommend the carousel, I'm going to recommend Walt's Barn at Griffith Park. This is a tricky suggestion because the Carolwood Foundation, whose mission is to preserve Walt's railroad legacy, only has this barn open the third Sunday of the month from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. That is a tight window to be planning your travels around. But it's home to the barn from Walt's Holmby Hills home. Holmby Hills home in Los Angeles, where, if you recall, he built and ran that 1/8 scale live steam railroad. Remember, he had a little like chugga chugga woo woo railroad in his backyard because Walt Disney was a little bit of a goofball. If you've ever seen the photos of that, this barn was there. And it was actually, I just learned this in researching before this episode, the barn was modeled after one from his hometown of Marceline. Who knew? Now it is filled with trains on display and even some of his personal items. He apparently made all the workbenches there. Very cool. I myself have not been there yet. I keep trying to go, but the scheduling hasn't worked out. I'm going to go at some point this year. It is on my to-do list. So check out some photos online on the Carolwood website. See if that's something you're interested in. But again, if that timing doesn't align with you for your trip, definitely still, this is a sidebar, check out Travel Town and the Railroad Museum, which are right there. They are perfect for trips with kids who are kind of obsessed with that stuff, if you have a kid who's obsessed with trains. And also take note, the zoo is near there, which is great. And Shane's Inspiration is an unbelievable playground. I'm going to call it probably, I haven't been to all of them yet, but probably LA's best playground. It's super inclusive. It has a bunch of different stuff for a bunch of different ages and different abilities. And it's right over there. It was also, fun fact, definitely partially used in a recent episode of Abbott Elementary, the one about the playground. I don't want to spoil anything, but the one where they go to the playground on the field trip. Just putting it out there. Just a fun little fact. Just a fun little fact. But back to the Walt task at hand. Since we are on the hunt for Walt hijinks, your next stop, duh, is going to be to drive past the Walt Disney Studio lot. Look at the animation building. Look at the water tower. And then drive a little further and go take a peek-see at Walt Disney Imagineering. Don't exit your car. Don't get in trouble. Don't hop a fence. Don't do anything like that. But sometimes it is fun to drive past and be like, wow, just over that fence is where all of this magic is made. But we're going to do that on the way, of course, to Tam O'Shanter, our main stop on the Walt journey. This little Scottish cottage of a restaurant, which opened in 1922, has been serving food like prime rib, Yorkshire pudding, I hope I said that out loud correctly, fish and chips, and shepherd's pie for many, many decades. But has more importantly been a favorite haunt of Walt and his animators since way back when, starting with when the Disney studio was originally on Hyperion. This was actually such a favorite spot of early Disney employees that, legend goes, it was jokingly called the commissary because at that studio they did not have one. Table 31, a very special table indeed, there is even a plaque that says this was a favorite spot of Walt Disney and his Imagineers. Now, you can request to sit at the special Walt Disney table. It may or may not be honored, but I gotta tell you, I've always been too scared to ask. I've been too Midwestern, too shy to ask. And last time I went with a few fellow Disney fans, my friends Brandon and Marissa, and we magically got placed there, which is shocking considering we all really wanted to sit at the Disney table and we were too much of weenies to ask. And then we magically got it. It was like, I don't know, it was maybe in the universe. Maybe they like the host just felt us being like, ooh, we really want to sit there. But it is possible to sit there and it is quite magical. Oh, I don't know if you can hear that. There was a fire truck that never happens in LA. Clearly, I'm still in New York. I hope that didn't come through. If it did, I apologize. Anyway, while you're at TAM, make sure to go around and explore a little. There is, once you enter to the left, there's a really cute historical timeline display, and there's even a drawing by John Hench hanging in the entryway. If your trip to LA is in like late November or any of December or even early January, it is in high demand around Christmas time. They have carolers come out at certain times of night, so be sure to make a reservation early if this is something you want to do around that time frame. And if you are listening to this like, boo, I want more than a barn and a meal. There is more Walt stuff around, but it is not enough to recommend for an itinerary on its own. There are the Snow White cottages. There's Walt's houses that he lived in the past, which you can drive past. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to recommend that to you. There's also a house he used to live in, which now does tours. I don't really know if they're still doing the tours. I don't know what the deal is. It doesn't quite appeal to me. So we're going to instead take a little side journey in this Walt itinerary and do things that are a little more Disney whimsy in general. Like, say, seeing places from Disney's Hollywood studios in real life. And while it pains me to even recommend this as a local, but for a real, whoa, this is like my favorite theme park, but in real life kind of moment, there is Grauman's Chinese Theater, now called TCL Chinese Theater. But it does provide a little uncanny valley moment with your Disney World memories. Only this one is smack in the middle of the main strip of Hollywood Boulevard, the most touristy area you can get, which is why I'm like, oh, I don't even want to send you into that den. But because I live here, there's no chance I'm going there unless I am seeing an IMAX movie because they have the best IMAX theater near me. It's so big. Seeing a movie at TCL Chinese Theater, so big. The screen is gigantic. I specifically went there to see Mission Impossible because the screen is so, 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 so big. But if seeing the sights is your jam, I recommend this. Otherwise, it is fun to stand there and be like, this is like where I go for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, but it's real. But it's here. And it is a little like, again, like Uncanny Valley, a little silly in your brain to see that in real life. And if you want a little more Disney magic, you can cross the street because there is El Capitan movie theater and a Ghirardelli attached, which is very Disney Parks vibe. The El Capitan, of course, is the movie theater that Disney owns. And while seeing movies there can be fun, not just because they have Mickey-shaped pretzels, which they do at the concession stand, that is fun. And sometimes they even have like novelty sippers and popcorn buckets from the parks and stuff. But while they have that, while they have an organist that plays before, I think some, maybe all of the shows, I think every show I've seen, there's been an organist. I occasionally go for Nightmare Before Christmas every year because they add like little flourishes, like little lights and little snow falling and fun little stuff. And that is cool. But I genuinely don't recommend going out of your way to come here on a visit to Los Angeles. And here is why. While this place is meant for people like us, Disney fans, who are like, look at this in the middle of a city, a fun Disney thing. The seats are so uncomfy. So uncomfy. They are small. They are rigid. If you are tall, I'm 5'7.5". I consider myself tall in terms of visiting this movie theater. It is not comfy. My knees are always up against something. So I do not recommend this for regular movies, but if there is something on display that you want to see, if you want to see a movie anyway and want to eat a Mickey pretzel, have at it. It is a fun experience, but personally, I find the seats too uncomfortable to go out of my way to go there. But it is fun because sometimes they show special stuff that you can't see anywhere else. Like I saw Turning Red in theaters the first time I was in theaters. I mean, the original time, not like the, we're actually putting it in theaters. Like when it came out in this theater and that was the only theater you could see it at. And I saw it there and that was worth going to. And also, I guess a Mickey pretzel is better than an uncomfy seat. Maybe. It's up for debate. Anyway, the last thing, if you're looking for a little bit more Disney's Hollywood Studio fix while in the area, Crossroads of the World, which you'll recognize from the front of the park, is in the vicinity as well. You can't really do anything there. You can just kind of ogle it. But still, it's fun to be like, this is where I would buy sunglasses when I come to a theme park. And now it's the real world version. It always makes me a little sad that the Hollywood Brown Derby building is not in existence anymore, because that would be a wonderful trifecta. But sadly, this is something fun that you can look at, not really do anything at, but at least look at and appreciate. And if you're hungry, there's a great Thai restaurant across the street. Love to eat Thai bistro. Be careful with the spice level. It's 1 to 10, I think. And if you get close to 10, it's ouch. It is intense. I love spicy food, but I don't mess around there. Anyway, fantastic. Recommend if you are in the area. Our next itinerary is possibly one of my most favorite ways to spend a day in LA. So much so that I have done it a whole bunch of times. This one is Puppet Prowess. And for this, we are heading to Highland Park. We will begin with a show at Bob Baker Marionette Theater. Oh yeah, I was not giving you an LA guide without a stop in my favorite Marionette Theater, because this historic nonprofit puppet theater is one that I have been obsessed with since my friend Jamie introduced me to it many, many years ago. And I recommend schlepping to it. It is old school childhood magic whimsy. It's great for kids. It's great for adults. I mean, adults who are okay with seeing a puppet show. Otherwise, they'll be like, what is this? But it's for anyone who wants to enjoy the magic and the mystery of a wonderful, wonderful puppet show. Because it is heaven here. There is an organist. Wow, really a trend with the organists. There is an organist at the end. Everybody gets ice cream. You get to meet the puppets up close. If you sit in the front, crisscross applesauce in those seats, sometimes a puppet will appear in your lap. Get out of town. Just like, broop. We'll sit down on your knee. There is no high like it, like a puppet sitting in your lap, just surprising, going, oh, like all of a sudden there's a little dog, or like, ah, there's a little alien. It is so fun. It is cheerful and happy and inspiring. And I love it so much, because once you take in a show, a fantastic show, and you peruse their weirdly really good gift shop, you get to walk down yet another wonderful main drag, which here is on York. There's a ton of dining in the area. Town Pizza, really fantastic. Fantastic pizza. I love it there. But you have to choose one. And we are always, always, always going to eat at Joy on York. They're Taiwanese food in a kind of quick service format. You order stuff at the counter, it's brought to your table, and there are so many delicious, yummy options to share. The vegan mapo tofu is a favorite. Dan Dan noodles, the wontons are really good. There's this thousand layer pancake that I always get. I'm only occasionally over on this side of town, so I always overorder just to have leftovers. Do not snooze on the cold veggies. I get three orders. Three orders of the lotus root, because I have a problem. It is so divine. It is divine. It is divine. You have to get the lotus root. It is so good. And even better, And then on your short little walk there, there are so many unique special stores to go in that aren't selling the same old junk. There's just really great stuff. I love Rosie Bunny Bean, my favorite pet store in LA for dog treats and toys that I really don't find other places. Sip and Snack is, okay, it's a bougie bodega. It is expensive. Be warned, it is expensive. But I don't go there to like get groceries. I always find some random little fancy snack or candy or treat that I've never seen anywhere else. Big Bud Press is where I buy most of my pants and jumpsuits. Literally almost every pair of pants I have is from Big Bud Press. Shorthand is a stationery store with a bunch of little cute gifties. And if you really want to make an extra day out of it, top it all off with a trip to Galco's. What is Galco's, you ask? Galco's Soda Pop Stop, which I think is the official name now. It's no longer Galco's Old World Grocery. Anyway, Galco's is known for having an abundance of bizarre sodas, hundreds of flavors, rare drinks, all of the beverages that you've maybe had once in your life and can't find anywhere else. They are sold here. It's kind of like Club Cool that you have to pay for, but an entire beverage store of it. It is so rad. They also have old school candies. I usually get Green River Soda, which I grew up on, which I love, which is straight sugar. Do not look at the ingredients. I think it's like sugar, corn syrup, sugar, but it's so good. My youth was all Green River Soda, but you can even make your own soda. There's a make your own soda situation in back and a deli. I haven't done that. It is tempting because I think the soda I would want to make would just be one that already exists. Maybe like a coconut. I do love coconut, Dr. Pepper with coconut. They have it Swig in Utah. That's a whole other discussion. But maybe I should go do that. I should make your own. And if you make one, tell me what flavor you make and if it was good so I know if I should go recreate it. It's about a 20-minute walk or a very quick drive from over by Bob Baker. And if you want to do even more while you're in the area, there's also another main drag over on Figueroa. Just map yourself to Highland Park Bowl and you'll see like coffee and food and shopping and stuff. And why I recommend all of this is because I used to go to Silver Lake for stuff like this. Silver Lake has such big, like, Williamsburg-y brand recognition. But Silver Lake is all chain stores now. It's like Madewell, Claire V. It's like all these stores that you can find elsewhere. And here, Highland Park isn't as much that. And they have puppets! What could be better than a day at Bob Baker Marionettes? We have plenty more Los Angeles suggestions and kooky little recommendations for you right after this break. Stick around. We will be right back with more for your upcoming LA vacation. Be right back. We're approaching that silly little time of year where it is hot, hot, hot out, but Halloween decorations are popping up everywhere. It's like, is it summer? Is it tiny candy bar season? What is going on here? And shifting my wardrobe between summer and fall is always a challenge. Luckily, Quince offers timeless, high-quality items that'll move with me through all of the seasons, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and that I save enough cash to buy as many of those weird little candy corn material pumpkins that my heart desires. Quince has plenty of chic stuff like cashmere sweaters from $50 and okay, you actually have to look this up. It's so cute. The organic cotton relaxed Oxford shirt that I'm sorry, looks like I went to an Ivy League college, even though I would fail every final if I had to take them again. Quince has all of this and so much more. You already know I'm obsessed with my Quince bike shorts. I'm really in my bike short era, and I'm in love with the ones I got from Quince. They're called the Ultraform Bike Short 7-inch, and I went to look up the name, and they were under $25? For real? I know all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, but like to see it? Wow, it's pretty amazing. Anyway, I've been wearing them all summer, but I can't wait for that first cool breeze when I transition from summer bike shorts girly to fall bike shorts girly, a la Princess Diana with a big sweater, or that big old Quince button down that I'm yapping about. I'm telling you, their site is great. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which is phenomenal. Make switching between seasons a breeze with Quince's high-quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's a return window someone forgetful like me loves to hear. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing.
I don't celebrate Christmas, but earlier this week, I finally felt the magic of being surprised with a perfect gift. And that's because when my HelloFresh box arrived, America's number one meal kit, there was a meal inside for Pearl. And I'm not special. You can get this too, because for a limited time, kids eat free. My HelloFresh delivery could not have arrived at a better time. All of my vegetables are on their way out. I've been eating handfuls of feta cheese for snacks. And now I'm going to be making pecan-crusted chicken for dinner. I'm going to be doing these little turkey shawarma lettuce wraps to prep my lunches for the days I record the podcast next week. And I'm even going to make Pearlie's little corn and cheese quesadillas, which she is going to flip over. HelloFresh has easy-to-follow recipes with pre-portioned ingredients, so there's no last-minute dash to the grocery store to get a single onion, or an eggplant, or garlic. I always forget garlic. Just choose your delivery day, open your box, and rest assured knowing your week is taken care of. I have been shocked, to say the least. I can't emphasize that enough. Shocked by how much effort it takes to keep these tiny humans fed. The planning, the shopping, the prepping to make food, and doing all of that before that hunger meltdown window opens. And HelloFresh makes family meals phenomenally easy by delivering picky eater approved recipes right to your door each week. And for a limited time, like I said, your kids are gonna eat free. Go to HelloFresh.com/amusingkids to unlock this exclusive offer. You'll get one free kids meal per box for 2 months while the subscription is active. That's free food for your kids just by going to HelloFresh.com/amusingkids. Once again, that's HelloFresh.com/amusingkids. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. And my favorite. If you've traveled overseas, you know one of the most annoying parts of a fantastic trip can be the struggle to stay connected. Hunting down Wi-Fi, changing your phone plan, incurring wild overage charges for what? Using data to map your way around a foreign city? Well, imagine no more of that, because Airalo is here to make that process so much easier. Airalo is the world's first eSIM store that solves the pain of high roaming bills by giving you easy access to eSIM digital SIM cards. Trusted by 10 million users worldwide, it's covered in more than 200 countries and regions, and really offers a perfect digital solution designed to save you time and money no matter where you are traveling. I went to Tokyo last October, and I decided to change my cell phone plan to allow coverage while overseas. It cost extra money, the service wasn't that great, but when I was in one park in particular, my phone's SIM card just stopped working. Just stopped working in a foreign country with no way for me to contact the friend I was staying with. I won't lie to you, it was pretty scary, and Airalo could have solved that problem for me from the start. So, if you're traveling soon and wondering how to stay in touch, look no further. Download the Airalo app and redeem the discount code AMUSING for $3 off your first eSIM. Just install Airalo, A-I-R-A-L-O, so you can stay connected wherever you travel, and use my code AMUSING to get $3 off your first eSIM. Happy travels!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. We have been very Burbank, Toluca Lake, Highland Park, East Side heavy. So let's discuss an itinerary that's more central to Los Angeles. Number six, welcome to West Hollywood! West Hollywood, baby! My perfect day in my little neighborhood. Now, I walk a lot, but this one will require driving just because you're trying to see it all in a day and time is of the essence. And I'll admit, this one is a little less of an itinerary and more kind of just a list of things I recommend all around the area. But you are going to start the day with a coffee at either of my two favorite stops, Dayglo or Pantry. Pantry is inside the Mad Happy clothing store on Melrose. And it the reason I recommend it is not because it's like a cool, hip place, which it is. And I actually don't even like that. I like it because they use coffee from this place called Hotel Drugs. It's a Tokyo coffee shop. There's no drugs involved. It's just the name. And you can't buy these beans otherwise. We have tried. We've desperately tried. They do not sell them. But it is currently my favorite latte in LA. I just think it's exceptional. There is a tiny little patio to sit outside, but it's honestly, it's usually packed with very cool Gen Zers, so I avoid it. I just scoot in with my stroller, like, beginning of the day. I look so dumb and old with, like, the undercarriage of the stroller just full of objects. But it's worth it because their coffee is great. Everyone who works there is nice. The manager there, Michael, so sweet, makes my day to see him. I often like spend way too much time chatting with him and then I'm late to do stuff. But if I want a perfect latte, a perfect morning, I will walk all the way there. But if I want a coffee that's a treat, like a little indulgence in the morning, I will go to Dayglow. They have plenty of normal drinks there, of course. They take coffee very seriously. You can just get a standard pour over hot coffee drip. I don't know what you people call it. You can get that there, but they also have these magical little concoctions. They are like, the best way to explain it is non-alcoholic coffee cocktails, but not like as bleh, as that sounds a little like bleh, not fun. Their menu is unreal. And it's not just sugar sapped coffees. It's not like, ooh, 2 pumps peppermint, 1 pump butterscotch, 1 pump this. No. These are artisan crafted drinks with a little bit of whimsy that brings out the flavor of the coffee in unexpected ways. If you are a coffee head, you are going to love it here. And if you are I need a cream top on top of my latte, like I need something fun and cute, you're also going to love it here. They have this one drink. Oh my God, the Warhol. They have this one drink. I've never ordered anything else on the menu once I ordered the Warhol. And it's been years now that I've been getting the Warhol. It is that good. It is espresso, cream, citrus, cinnamon, and I think vanilla. But it's basically like a creamy latte, an iced latte with like a little orange zest. And they have a little piece of an orange in it. It's sweet. It's citrusy. I cannot get enough. It is heaven. It is heaven. I love it so much. And Dayglow, by the way, has multiple locations. They have a couple in LA. They have one in Illinois. They have one in Brooklyn. So check it out. It was another Dave Lancel recommendation. The dude who recommended Priscilla's. This dude knows coffee. And I'm very, very pleased to just drift recommendations off of him. Now, if we've gotten our coffee, we're walking around, we feel hungry. We're going to go to Great White for breakfast. And it's this adorable little Australian cafe with an all-hits menu that gets busier during the day and busy into evenings, but is fully dead in the morning until about 10 a.m. and very easy for a spontaneous breakfast. I love a breakfast that I don't have to make a reservation for. I can just show up. I know I'm going to be able to choose my table. That's fun because they have some tables that are kind of close to each other, some that aren't. Love Great White. Go there all the time. Fantastic food. And if you want another breakfast recommendation, Great White is close to Pantry and Dialogue Cafe is closer to Dayglow. It's like not on the other side of town, but it's like a little bit of a hike away. But it's essentially a casual cafe that feels like, oh God, this is going to be full of intimidating LA people who just love to talk about their protein intake and are like, have you had cottage cheese? It's delicious. But it's actually not like that at all. It is so chill. The staff is so nice. They have incredible hash browns. They have this egg white omelet that I sub. I love an egg white. Egg white omelet, there's slices of turkey in it, which is weird. I don't like that. I shouldn't have even mentioned this. I don't like that. But I put in turkey bacon. I get that with a side of hash browns. Delicious. We order delivery from there more than I am going to admit on mic. Let's just say that. Let's just say I don't want to know the total. We order from there constantly. They have these little grain bowls with lettuce, with vegetables, with chicken, with avocado. Delicious. Wonderful banh mi. Wouldn't have expected it. Get a cookie to go if you go the chocolate chip cookies. They are delicious. Right before I gave birth, because I was, Pearl was overdue. I almost said overcooked. That's the wrong way to phrase it. Pearl was overdue. Yeah, that's fine to say. I would get I was only eating a Dialogue at this point. I would get one of their chocolate chip cookies almost every day just so I can have one with me to bring to the hospital. They're that good. This place is wonderful. But if you are not craving like an LA breakfast, you just want a diner vibe, you want something casual, we are going to DuPars. My parents are obsessed with this place. My mom's voicemail is going to be like at least 45 seconds about DuPars. It is just a solid diner in the farmer's market area of The Grove. For those unfamiliar with The Grove, our famous LA mall, The Grove is kind of like LA's version of downtown Disney. The one here, not Disney Springs. Like downtown Disney Anaheim, fancy Disney-fied, like a little more Disney, like a little more themed, that that's kind of that's the best way to explain it, I think. We all go there all the time. It's so goofy that the Grove is like a community location, but we have so few public spaces, and this is kind of the one we all go to, a Disney-fied mall for everyone. It's weird, but it is what it is. I'm there all the time. But attached to the Grove is this farmer's market where DuParez is. It's essentially a collection of food stalls and restaurants and marketplaces, not a traditional farmer's market. You don't show up and it's like, we got snap peas, we got blueberries. Like, they have a few vendors like that, a few little grocery stores and things, but it's mostly just historic and bonkers that it is still standing. It's been there since the 30s. They just have a bunch of merchants and dining options for a lunch, a great early dinner. The ice cream place is great. I stopped eating at the donut place. I think it's called Bob's. I used to go there a lot. And then I was there, like, I used to go, this is obviously before Pearl, I would like go there with Morty. I think I would like drive or walk there and sit and have a donut and then head back. And I like met an old man, and we, not to be like, a man can't just be a man without saying he's old, but anyway, he was an old man. And we talked for a while, and he's like, I don't like the donuts at this place. They're too oily. I recommend this other place. And he was right. I haven't gone back, because I'm like, he's right. The donuts are oily. They're oily. Listen, trust an old friendly man will tell you what's what about a local donut. So Ben still goes there, donut place. I think it's Bob's. But I only go there, I only buy a donut if I have to validate my parking. Sorry to be very LA, but that's the truth. But the ice cream place is great. They have a really good cookies and cream. The Singapore's Banana Leaf restaurant, that place is great. I love that place in the winter. And the French restaurant I go to all the time, fantastic fondue. Fantastic. And it all with like outdoor covered seating. Walk around there, take it in. They have a lot of like fun things you can bring home. It's just really, it's really, really unique. And it's unlike anything else you will find in the city, I think. There are other markets, but there's like Grand Central Terminal downtown, but I don't think it's the same. I think this is the peak experience. We're obviously going to go shopping. We're at the Grove. There aren't many places. I'm not like going to Brandy Melville. I'm a grown woman. But there is some shopping along Melrose that I recommend. They have a Real, if you're into that. They have the main Glossier outpost, which is a fun place to visit if you like their products. They have some traditional boutiques, things like that. It's fun to walk around just down the main drag of Melrose. Melrose Place is adorable and cute to walk through. They have a bunch of cool stuff there. But if you're looking for actual shopping places, I personally go to shop because I shop infrequently in LA. I only have two recommendations for you. First, Recess Vintage, which is a short drive away, but they are my favorite vintage store in the city. Great prices, a great collection. And it's really rare to have one of those, if not both of them. Sometimes you'll get good prices, but the stuff is bad. Sometimes you'll get good stuff and the prices are bonkers. But to have both, Recess is the spot. And then there is Just One Eye. Now, I can't even believe I'm recommending this bougie boutique on this podcast, or to anyone in that matter, because I'm not buying anything there. You probably shouldn't either. Like, we're not shopping at Just One Eye. That's not why I'm recommending this store. I'm recommending it because you're going there to pretend you are going to buy something, all while taking in the gigantic Damien Hirst artwork on the wall, which you can enjoy for free. This list is a little, like, these itineraries are light on museums because I don't really love the offerings in the area. I'm sorry. Lacombe's collection isn't that great, in my opinion. Doesn't do it for me. Academy Museum isn't my jam. I'm not a huge movie person. I went once. I kind of feel like I have no need to go back after having gone. The Broad downtown is great. Wonderful modern art collection, but I'm way too stressed with the one-way streets downtown to be going there regularly. It's just too much. The parking's stressful. Just too much for me. So if I can see a painting by Damien Hirst with the admission price being $0, well, I guess the admission price actually being judged by the security guards in front, who are so judgy. They're so judgy. But if you can go for free and just, if you can bypass their little glare and just take it all in, I'm okay with that. I think that's pretty good. Moving on, our seventh itinerary is West Side Freewheeling. Now, I will be real with you. I have nothing to provide for Venice, even though I lived there for about 3 years. The canals are pretty cool. Abbot Kinney's okay. I'd walk both of them just to be like, cool, we saw it. We saw Venice. If you're on that side of town, it is definitely something to do. But honestly, everything's changed since I lived there. Everything's gone. The coffee shops, the places I would go to, they're gone. Jelena's good? I don't know. I don't like Jelena Takeaway. Everyone's like, Jelena Takeaway, it's amazing. The vibe in there is like two thumbs down and a fart. I don't like it. It's too stressful. It's overwhelming. It's I don't like it in there. It's just I don't like it. Okay, I'm moving on from Venice because that's not even the itinerary. This is where the itinerary begins. Duh, on the Santa Monica Boardwalk. Of course we're going there. Yeah, it's touristy, but you know what else they got? A Ferris wheel. a big old Ferris wheel with a lovely little view of the beach, which is way more palatable than standing on the sand, being like, oh, I didn't bring a bathing suit because that's not really what's happening. I'm just standing here. I'm just on a beach. It's hot. It's hot. And I'm on a beach. People are rollerblading. That's it. Would much rather have that view from a wonderful, wonderful Ferris wheel. Really big, really great view. Great for like taking a picture, making a memory, something like that. Love going on there. I've been on a ton of times. Listen, not to show, not to admit everything, but I did have an annual pass to the boardwalk. When I lived in Venice, I had an annual pass and I would go there regularly and go on the roller coaster, which if you're looking to go on another thing while you're there, the roller coaster is good enough. It's pretty good. It's not the best one I've ever been on. The Ferris wheel is definitely the thing you want to do, but you know, it's not bad. It's better than no roller coaster. I guess that's how I'd feel about any of them. But they also have a creepy little carousel, a creepy little indoor carousel, which is also cute. I guess if you retain any of my social media posts in your brain, which I assume you don't, but when the date, Pearl's due date, I had nothing to do. And I was like, what am I going to do? So we drove and we went on that carousel. So if you've seen a video of me on a carousel or like a photo, I don't remember what I posted, of me being highly pregnant on a carousel horse, that's where it was. I was in Santa Monica and it was fun. So if you go on a Wednesday or a Saturday, don't just go to the boardwalk. Definitely walk through the downtown area of Santa Monica because they have a phenomenal farmer's market, which even if you're not in the need of like a basket of snow peas or anything, it is just beautiful to walk through. Wonderful flowers, so many booths. They have prepared food, like you can get a little snacky snack. It is great. And this is where I'm going to admit that this is half of an itinerary by design. Because if you have the energy, the stamina, the capacity, or the will to brave traffic on a weekend or end of a weekday, I would hook this onto our next itinerary, a Malibu getaway. Because where we are starting is just a bit down the road of the Santa Monica area, just down the PCH at the Getty Villa. Now, the Getty itself is a totally different thing. That's absolutely worth going to. It's basically a beautiful indoor-outdoor museum with nice views and a little like funicular thing to get to the top. It's a great place to take parents when you just moved to LA, you're looking for something to do. But since a lot of people who've been to LA a couple times have probably gone here, and I find it a bit lacking on repeat visits, I often suggest instead the Getty Villa. This one is in Malibu, and it is basically a beautiful mansion filled with artifacts. Or, in their words, Greek and Roman antiquities housed in a recreated Roman country home. It is like a peak hidden gem in LA. The gardens and tile work are extraordinary. There's a sculpture garden situation. Basically, you'll see some great art, see a great space, and you can low-key fully fake that you went on a European vacation just by going here. Admission is free, but you will need a timed entry, so be sure to schedule it in advance. And if you can't get in but still want to get some Malibu jollies elsewhere, I recommend looking into the, there's a lot of words, gotta prepare, Self-Realization Fellowship Lake Shrine. I've spoken before. Self-Realization Fellowship Lake Shrine, which is a few minutes down the road. Intended to be more of a spiritual sanctuary, inclusive of all religions, it's also just a beautiful oasis, a spring-fed lake with a little path around it that's just really serene. If you're a, I'm bringing a good book on vacation and I can't wait to read kind of person, this is for you. This would be such a lovely place to sit and read in the middle of a busy Los Angeles itinerary. The Lake Shrine Gardens are open Wednesday through Sunday. They're free, but again, advance reservations are required. There are two arrival times per day. I think on Sunday is the only day they have one arrival time because that's when they have services, I believe. But arrival times are at 10 and 1, so keep that in mind. It's just a really lovely space if you're around there. And then, when you're a little hungry after, we're going to head to Nobu Malibu. I'm just kidding. It's beautiful there, but I'm not recommending you go to Nobu Malibu and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on fish looking at the water, because I'm instead going to recommend you go to Malibu Farm. Malibu Farm! Now, it's not on a farm. Don't let the name fool you. It's at the end of a pier, and you can park on the street for free, kind of, if anything's available. I always end up parking in their way too expensive parking lot. It's like $20, I think, $18 or $20. It's annoying, but it's worth it because I love it here so much. Now, Malibu Farm is on a pier. It's on a pier that you walk down, and this is very important. When you arrive, There is a sit-down restaurant at the front. I don't go there. I don't go to the sit-down waiter service restaurant. I walk towards the end of the pier to the quick service spot. I think it's like Malibu Farm Restaurant and Cafe. They have very similar names because they're both Malibu Farm. Keep that in mind. Just keep on walking. Just keep on walking past that restaurant towards the end, which I love because it's just so much more low-key. You can pick any seat you want. You can just sit and stare at the water without interruption. It's just very chill. And the food here is absolutely fantastic. It is all fresh, organic, and local, but not gross about it. You know what I mean? Like, the ingredients are so fresh and so wholesome, but it's not like, bleh, it's not like bleh, health food. I always get the tofu coconut curry. I can't stray from it. It's delicious. It's so delicious. I always have leftovers. It's just really high quality ingredients, and everything I've ever gotten there, everything Ben's ever gotten there has been so good. Also, my mom once saw a mini driver here and couldn't remember her name. That was a big moment for her. A core memory for me is my mom. I forget what she called her. I'm sure she'll say it in next week's voicemail, but she called her something else that wasn't Minnie Driver, and she was thrilled to see her. So that was fun. See? Keep your eyes peeled. You never know who you're going to see. They also, across from Malibu Farm where I go, the little, like the cafe one, they have a little shop where they have really cute little souvenirs. You can hang out, taking the breeze. It's just lovely. It's truly lovely. There's always families there. There's people of all ages. I like places that everyone feels welcome at, and I definitely, definitely feel that here. Itinerary number 9, we're going to Ozzy's and then to Vidiot's. Now, this one might be a cop-out because I just like to do these two things. I've never done them together, but I gotta do them because they're two of my faves and they are very, very close to each other. Ozzy's is a pizza place that started during the pandemic in a bar and has since become one of the best pizza places in all of Los Angeles. They have New Haven-style pizza. I think that's how you say it, a pizza. And yes, that means they obviously have a clam pie, but they're really just a wonderful pizza place. Their pizza is divine. To call it a restaurant is actually a bit of a stretch since it operates on the back patio of some sort of clubhouse thing. I really don't know how to explain. It's like a club, like a member-y club, but like it's on their back patio. All you need to know is that there are endless tables to sit at. They have like, it's all open air. They have these big ovens that they cook the pizza in. There's a bar with a really friendly bartender, and you can get as many pizzas as you can eat and pay for. It is very chill, and I love it. The only tricky thing with Ozzy's is that a couple months ago, that guy from Barstool who does the pizza stuff, he named it the best pizza in LA, and it got absolutely rammed. It was so tricky to get in. I think all that has leveled out by now. You should be okay. I just want to add a flag because it might get busy on weekends and at peak nighttime hours, things like that. I usually go at kid dinner time. I've gone on weeknights. Both have been totally chill. But usually for me, schlepping to Glendale to go to Ozzy's alone is a treat. That's a highlight of the week. But in this, I'm adding on a little something extra because I recommend you plan your Ozzy's visit around a trip to Vidiot's. Vidiot's Foundation is a movie theater, rental store, community organization, kind of all of that wrapped into one. My friend Jamie, who runs a movie club in LA, took me here for a screening of Singing in the Rain, and it was just unbelievable. Not only do they have great popcorn with a buffet of toppings to shake on top, always a plus, but the crowd was a dream crowd for seeing a movie. Singing in the Rain, like a movie that's been around a long, long time. Everyone was laughing, gasping, clapping, people of all ages. It really felt like the community came out for a screening here. And from what I hear, that happens often. Like, that happens all the time. They also have regular special screenings with special guests and little discussions. Check out the schedule. See if there's anything that matters to you that you're like, oh, I gotta see this in theater. See if there are any special guests. They'll have like directors, actors, people who are involved in all of these. Just come out to all these movies. It's very special. It's one of the things that makes LA so LA. It's so fun. And it's definitely worth planning a trip around if you are into any of that. Itinerary number 10. Ooh boy. We are going to Beverly Hills, but not in an annoying way. We are going to start the day at Maru Coffee. Do you remember that place I recommended in Los Feliz, but don't wait in line? You probably won't wait in line here because this one is literally tucked inside the valet of the, oh my God, I don't know how to pronounce it, Marlebon Hotel. Anyway, map your way tomorrow. Don't ignore. They're unrelated. Their names sound very similar, but the Marlebon. Marlebon. I can't do it. I clearly can't do it. Anyway, it's basically like at the end of the valet of this hotel is where this cutie little coffee shop is hidden. Speaking of valet though, do not pay to park in Beverly Hills ever. Ever. There is so much free parking. They will try to fool you with all these parking garages. Some of them are paid, but the ones operated by the city, there are 2 hours free in most of them. If it doesn't say that, it's a private garage. Pull out. Do not waste your money. Because the most fun part of Beverly Hills is to go and to like not really spend a lot of money because you feel like you've gotten away with something. The shopping in Beverly Hills, again, it's whatever. I like walking down Rodeo just because it's nice to see all the stuff I'm not going to buy. I don't know. Looking at beautiful window displays is a lovely activity. Sue me. I enjoy it. If you actually want to buy stuff, there is a 260 sample sale place that's hit or miss depending on the brand that they have featured at the sample sale. But we're here to walk. We're here to walk around. We're here to gawk. We're here to walk and gawk. And to talk. Is there something that rhymes with gawk that's eating? We're here to walk, gawk, and talk. I wish Nosh rhymed. But anyway, how's that not my... I'm here to walk, gawk, and talk. If I'm ever on Beverly Hills Housewives, like one of those Bravo shows, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to walk, gawk, and talk. Wow, I may have unpacked a new catchphrase. Maybe I'll have to rebrand the whole podcast. Anyway, since we're in Beverly Hills walking around, we're going to be hungry. And when it comes to chowing, we're going to ignore every popular Italian restaurant here on that main strip to the side. Even though the amount of Parmesan that they will give you for the free bread basket is... heaven sent. Beyond that, we are going elsewhere. We are going elsewhere. We are going to Nate and Al's. It's an old school Jewish deli. It's a wonderful place to stop. It's very cool. It has a mix of locals and all ages. You know, I mean, it's a deli. There's going to be some old people there, which is very sweet. There's a bunch of people working in the area. There's young people. It is a good vibe yet again. It's just a long-term gem. But if you want something a little fancier, a little more special, you're on your little vacation, I recommend the John and Vinny's here as well. I assume they have more availability, especially during the daytime, than the one on Fairfax. But you're going to go, you're going to get that spicy pasta. You're going to get some pizza. Very good lunch situation as well. If you want to see what the fuss is up about, we're talking about Erewhon. If you want to see the deal, like the gigantic drink fridge that people spend way too much money on adaptogens and Nootronics or whatever that is, go to Erewhon, ogle the food. It's very fun. It's like being in a working food museum of a Los Angeles lifestyle. If you want to go there, that one's not as busy. It's like cool to walk through. But whatever you do, do not fill up at John and Vinny's, at Nate and Al's, at Erewhon and Erewhon's. Do not fill up. Because we are splurging today, people. We are in Beverly Hills, and we are going to go Greek. This place, this frozen yogurt is unparalleled. I actually just started shaking thinking about it because I'm so excited. It is soft serve Greek yogurt. And while that sounds like nothing special, it is the most delicious thing that you can get out of a soft serve machine. I love it more than any vanilla soft serve. It is so creamy. It is so good. And it is so freaking expensive. Every time I go, which is literally once every 6 months, I cannot bring myself to go more often. I'm like, I guess Pearl doesn't have to go to college. That's basically how I approach this place. It is so pricey, but worth it as a special treat. It is so delicious. And if it's hot out, we're going to take it to go, and we're going to walk, and we're going to leave the shopping area, the shopping little downtown district of Beverly Hills, and we're going to cross over into the streets with the mansions. Where's she taking us? Oh, I don't know. We're maybe going to the Beverly Hills Witch House, people. I spent a lot of my pandemic walking around these little streets in the mansions because they're beautifully manicured and they're wonderful to walk by and there's a lot of room. But the Beverly Hills Witch House, the most beautiful thing in Beverly Hills, it's called the Spadina House, Spadena, if you want to look it up on a map. It is so freaking cool. It looks like it is out of a movie and is a full-blown witch house. The sloped roof, the details, there's a bunch of stuff in the yard that kind of accentuates the design of the house. It is historic. It is wonderful. I assume you get no natural light if you actually live there, but it is so fun to stand outside and be like, what, this is the most special thing I've ever seen in the middle of like a millionaire's row of mansions. And oh my God, are we on our last itinerary already? Whoa. Last but not least, we are doing just a full-blown off-the-beaten-path gem. I did this day with my friend Jamie. As you notice, Jamie comes up a lot because we're the friend that we pull each other in to do silly LA things. But we did this perfect, perfect day, and I have to recommend it to you. Now, if you're like, this is your first, second, third time in LA, this is probably not for you. But if you've been here a lot and you just want something new, something fun, this is where I'm going to send you. Bub and Grandma's. Now, Bub and Grandma's, is their name will appear on menus throughout Los Angeles. They are the best bread purveyor. The Marylebone pronunciation is in my head now. Purveyor in the city. And they have a full-blown restaurant, which you can get a bunch of different stuff at. But truly, order anything that'll yield the most bread that you can taste. Their bread is so delicious. It's the best. It's my top bread of any bread I've ever had, ever. And it's in LA. Oh, I'm so lucky. So after you have this wonderful meal, after that, you're going to get in your car, get in an Uber, and you're going to go to Frogtown, and you're going to go to Spoke. Spoke is this cute little bike shop, coffee shop. Bike shop, coffee house is what I guess that makes sense. Bike and coffee shop. Anything can be anything. And you're going to go there, and you're going to rent a bike, and you're going to bike all along the LA River. Now, while I say LA River, there's no water. There's really no water in there. It's a little bleak of a bike ride if you're used to, like, someone coming from, like, Oregon or Colorado would be like, are you kidding me? You recommended this? But it is such a fun novelty to be in LA and to be like, I'm biking next to the freeway, which is gross in a way, but also so fun, so weirdly fun to do LA in a way you have never done before. And there are so many businesses along that bike path. There's like, I think there's a La Colombe. There's this place, Lingua Franca, I think it's called, which is like an Italian restaurant. There's a bunch of cool stuff that has popped up over there. And so to go on a little bike ride, a little adventure, bike pull ways, take it all in, be like, what am I? I'm in a part of LA I've never seen before. And then at the end, you just go to Spoke, get a little snack, get a little drink. It is a wonderful little excursion that you would not be doing otherwise and that many, many people in LA will never see firsthand. And those are my 11 LA itineraries. Let me know if you go on any of these. Let me know if you have any feedback, anything you loved. I always love to hear how my recommendations go. And I hope you have fun. I love my little city. I moved to LA from New York 10-ish years ago. I have never looked back. New York is magical, but I love LA because of stuff like this. There's so much stuff. And to me, most importantly, it is a creative city. This is a place where things are getting made. Like, the ideas of people in houses and apartment buildings in the city are what we view as mass media, like what we go and pay to go to the movies for, we watch on TV. Like, it's all coming out of mostly the brains of people in LA. And that is never going to not be fascinating to me. I love LA. It's magical. This is where things happen. It's a creative city. It's so exciting. You can do so many things. You can hike to an observatory. You can see the Hollywood sign, which is so iconic. You can go on this weird little bike ride. You can go to Beverly Hills. You can just see so many things in so many different ways. I love my city. I'm glad I got to share it with you this week. And I hope on your next visit to Los Angeles, you have a wonderful, wonderful time.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, Carly. My name is Kelsey, and I live in Kentucky. This is the first time I've ever called in, but I've listened for a long time, and I think it's a great podcast, and I love following you on Instagram. But anyways, I just wanted to thank you for doing the studio guide tour. I was about to buy one for Paramount because I've been to Warner Brothers, and it's great. My sister lives in Culver City, so I think I'm going to go to Sony instead. And I was wondering, which is not really theme park related, if you had any other things kind of in the Culver City area, because I'll have a day or two that I have to, you know, find something to do. And if you had any other things to do in that area, that's it. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, Kelsey. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad I could save you from the Paramount tour. And also, I should mention this. A friend who I won't identify on mic told me he did Paramount years ago, like years and years and years ago, and loved it. He absolutely loved it. So it is pretty wild how good their tour branding is and how unbelievably bad of a time I personally had on that tour. Now, in terms of Century City, I will admit I don't spend too much time there. I'm either like, I've spent my time kind of Venice, Santa Monica, or on the other side. But Century City is close to Beverly Hills, so I do recommend my little Beverly Hills itinerary from this episode. Otherwise, don't snooze on Century City Mall. Recommending a mall when you're visiting a different city is chaotic, but it's a beautiful mall. It's an outdoor mall. It is like, they redid it recently. It is just really nice. It's a really nice mall to walk around in. They have a Din Tai Fung. If you want to go during lunch, it's easier. It's just easier to get in. They have a great hot pot restaurant. I think it's called Ha Di Lao. It's so good. But there's just a bunch of cute stores. It's really nice to walk around. And I Wow, I feel like I've undercut my entire episode by recommending a mall, but also the Century City Mall is, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I hope you have a wonderful trip and you have so much fun on the tour. Have so much fun. Let me know how it goes. Have so much fun. Okay, bye. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. We appreciate it. It's a nice thing to do. It's a little mitzvah of the day. I appreciate everyone who does it, who takes the time. And I thank you in advance if you have not done it yet and are maybe going to do it while you're listening. Do it right now. You can do it right now. It's no big deal. It's very easy. You can give us a call at 747-CHURROS, send a voice note, email it to 747-CHURROS@gmail.com. You know where to find me. Send me your questions, concerns, comments, thoughts, opinions, complaints, etc. You can buy Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com, and you can follow me at Carly Wiesel on all the platforms. You can join the Fomaly at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel and subscribe to my Instagram. Subscribe to my Instagram. It's 99 cents a month and I post a lot of stuff on there. You really get a lot for 99 cents because, not to sound like a 70-year-old, but you can, money isn't the way it used to be. You can't get anything for a dollar anymore. I don't know why I use that voice, but you know what I mean. 99 cents a month. That's less than a seltzer. Enjoy! This episode was edited patiently by Jeff Fox, which is so freaking ironic because the audio just cut off. My mic keeps cutting out. Like, on top of everything, my mic is just cutting out and not working while I'm away from home. And it literally cut out as I said patiently. And because it's like multiple files, Jeff has to string them all together. So Jeff is being super patient and we love him. We appreciate him for all of this. This episode was edited very, very patiently by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, sweet mom. Okay, I've listened to this hour and a half entirety of Disney. I understand some of what you said. This is so way over my head. Okay, I got the individual lightning rings. Those have changed as of July 24th. That's going away. FastPass is possibly paying double, booking all lighting lanes in advance. Can't choose what you want. There's different tiers. The names are changing. Genie Plus to Lightning Lane Multi-Pass, Individual Lightning Lane Single Pass. Select time, select ride tiers. Oh my gosh. I think we need like a Zoom class with a chalkboard. I mean, I just need to have more. Because I'm so confused. But then again, I'm so grateful that I go with you because you know everything and I just show up. It's so wonderful. All right, so the Genie Plus Multipass. That's 3 multipass returns per day, 2 individual single returns per day. I think I got it. All right, I'm getting it a little. So I did look on my Mind Disney Experience app because I always have it on, and I found a bunch of pictures that I haven't seen. So I'm so excited you mentioned that. Because I went on there and found all these pictures I did not even know I had. You are so right. This is confusing, all this, but Disney planning is back, so that's the good thing. Christina, I love you. Yes, I want to be on Carly's Very Amusing podcast as much as possible, as much as she will allow. But now that she said to you she's going to do it, I'm so excited. So on our next trip, we will definitely do it. And Carly, I can be cutthroat. I can absolutely be cutthroat, but I love Disney and I love everything about it and I enjoy the food and I really don't have much to complain about, but I did complain last week. Mm-hmm. I did a Paramount Studios, if you listen. I really did. It was a great episode. It's a lot of things that my brain can't get at once, so you'll show me again. And one-on-one, you'll teach me. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl, and I do love you, John Stamos. And he played with the Beach Boys in Chicago last weekend. And you are terrific, and I know you're listening. I love you so much, and please don't get a restraining order on me. Please don't. See you next week. Bye.